At this point, we're going to start the action agenda for the Commonwealth Transportation Board. We always start out with public comments. Anyone would like to make any public statements? Come on up. Anyone want to speak? If you could. Go ahead, Pollard.
Good afternoon, Secretary Knott and members of the Commonwealth Transportation Board. My name is Trip Pollard. I'm a land and community program developer, director for the Southern Environmental Law Center. I wanted to touch on the discussion you all had about the context, corridors of statewide significance, the COSS, both in general and in particular. There was a great overview, by the way, given some of the history of this, excellent presentation. And we do support the concept of COSS. We think that type of multimodal planning and looking at the corridor basis makes an enormous amount of sense and will help get us away from some of the ways kind of a single mode focus at times led us down a path of missing some cheaper and more effective solutions. We are concerned a little bit about where the COSS has evolved in one respect, and that is the originally, with the VTrans 2025, there was a greater emphasis on the land use and piece of the equation. As Secretary Connaughton mentioned, this is a planning tool. It's meant to integrate and work with comprehensive plans at the local level. And in addition to a lot of discussion about the transportation alternatives for improving these critical corridors, there was also a lot of discussion about how we better link transportation and land use planning in the Commonwealth. Recognizing that part of the solution is land use, as well as part of it being transportation per se. I haven't heard as much about that lately and in the presentation today, and I just want to raise that as you all go forward. The presentation ended today with the upcoming steps in the COSS process, talking about the methodology for prioritization, and then the discussion you all began to have about what are these for. I encourage you to keep the transportation land use connection front and center. Another concern about the COSS process, and this segues into the particular measure, is the public input. You all mentioned that there's going to be a presentation next month on items 1 through 4 about methodology for prioritization, and then initiating the next round of study and looking at this in May. We think this makes a lot of sense to develop this methodology, to look closely at COSS, and to follow this timetable, which is why we were surprised to hear that there's going to be a resolution introduced under new business today to add a corridor when you're about to look at your methodology and about to look at how you do the next COSS study. And no surprise, given some of the back and forth during Q&A, it is that additional north-south Northern Virginia study. I also understand that it's not only going to be introduced but possibly voted on today, which we are extremely concerned about the process there. Since this resolution does not appear anywhere on the agenda today, and your action agenda was not even posted online as of this morning, I only saw the agenda when I got here today, there's nothing on here that mentions any resolution to add a new corridor of statewide significance. As the earlier presentation mentioned, a lot of thought went into these COSSs. There was a lot of extensive analysis, and to add a COSS under new business at a meeting when it's not even on your agenda and vote on it, we believe is fundamentally cuts the public out of this process, does not lead to sound decision-making and analysis, and we would urge you to put this additional proposal into the hopper when you're initiating this new COSS study, looking at priorities next month and the new study in May. On the particulars of this COSS, if you do take it up today, we would like to just stress real quickly that the 2025, the 2035 studies, as we heard during the earlier discussion, there was a lot of look at this as a potential study. The decision was made at that time not to make it a corridor. I understand that list is not set in stone, but there were good reasons why it was not included then, and we would suggest it is not a good reason to include it now. A decade of study has gone into this corridor already. We think that it does not match the key criteria for COSS, given the volume of travel, additional improvements already in the Route 28 corridor to handle future north-south traffic. And so for all of these reasons, given the many, many needs, as we heard earlier about the tight revenue that's continuing, that's one of the reasons this one didn't make the list last time. We already can't improve the 11 corridors of statewide significance we had. So if you do take this up today, which I, again, would urge you not to, I would urge you to not adopt this one, but that you add it for further study. Thank you.
I have a question.
Thank you, Mr. Brooks. Well, we don't have a mouth,
right? Yeah. I remember y'all were very involved in the Route 29 corridor bypass study. You opposed it and filed numerous lawsuits, held about the cost a lot of money.
One lawsuit, not numerous. All
right. And I believe somebody was here from the organization about the Route 60 proposal a month or two ago.
No, that's not correct.
We got letters opposing the 460 corridor.
Oh, 460. I'm sorry, you said 60.
460. Are there any paving projects that your group does not oppose?
Yes, quite a few. In fact, to give you an example of the Route 29 that you mentioned, we oppose the proposed Western Bypass, which would cost... Estimates are upwards of $300 million for a six-mile segment, which would begin and end in congestion. The blast well, two... Could I answer the question,
started,
please?
When it started before the lawsuits, it did not...
Okay. I think this is why...
This is why you don't have questions.
Q&A. Thank you very much. But, just followed by brief.
But could I just finish
sure.
the thought?
Sure.
Is if you will look at it, the last two VDOT commissioners similarly concluded that project, as currently on record, does not make sense. We support a number of road improvements as part of the solution. We recognize 29 corridor needs improvement. We just think that's the wrong project. So, yes, we support road improvements.
Chairman, can I ask one question?
No questions.
Just to clarify.
No. This is
I just want to know who they are.
As I said at the beginning, my name is Trip Pollard. I'm the director of the Southern Environmental Law Center. We are a nonprofit, nonpartisan group headquartered in Charlottesville, and I'm the director of our Richmond office.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
One of those acronyms again. Please make sure that one's on the list.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. My name is Martha Henley, and I live in western Prince William County. You know, I never thought I'd be back down here addressing the same thing citizens thought was put on the shelf in the 1990s when I was part of a citizens group known as CARD, Citizens Against Roads for Developers, that was 1,800 strong. But here comes the Western Transportation Corridor back at us some 15 years later, but under a new label. It was known as the Road to Nowhere, and that is exactly what this proposal that I think is coming today is. And I've been led to believe that this proposal is coming, and I really don't think many of you got up this morning and said to yourself, I'm wondering whom I can bushwhack today. But I have to ask you, where is the transparency and openness in this process? As of late yesterday, your agenda wasn't posted on your website, much less this resolution for anybody to see. The arguments made for this corridor have been debunked before, but are you going to hear them? I think you're probably just hearing one side of this. For instance, the road goes to the backside of Dulles Airport, which you then have to proceed all the way around the barn to the front. Proponents before actually suggested putting in a back entrance and tunneling under the runways to get to the terminal. Even so, doing this doesn't save a significant amount of time. I get to Dulles from Western Prince William in under 30 minutes right now. So what bang are you getting for your buck here? This wasn't even on the governor's list. The overwhelming need in the area is east-west and not north-south. I could give you more reasons not to support this, but I'm not going to try your patience, and I appreciate this opportunity to address you today. I have one more point, and that is that this proposal seems contrary to your own policy of UDCs. I think that's the acronym for your Centers of High Density. This corridor goes through low-density areas of Prince William County and Loudoun County and would no doubt increase pressure for higher-density development along its path. Of course, that's something that the real estate speculators along this route would like to see. If you're really going to give weight to local comprehensive plans, you'd be looking at the real Tri-County Parkway, that route, approved by Prince William, I think, when Mr. Connaughton was actually chairman of the board then, by Fairfax and by Loudoun. And the right-of-way in Prince William County is already publicly owned. Trouble was, what developers said about it was they weren't interested because there's development already along that area. It didn't give them opportunity for new development. So, you know, I appreciate the time to speak, but I really am concerned that this is not an open process with the public. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mr. Chase?
Good afternoon, Chairman, members of the board. My name is Leo Schaeffer. I'm with the Washington Airports Task Force. I'm here to support creation of what I will call a global gateway corridor of statewide significance to link Dulles Airport and its surrounding roads into the system of corridors which you've already identified. Some years ago, when VTrans 2035 was in its final stages, the Secretary's predecessor asked me to, or he pointed out that there were 11 corridors of statewide significance, that five of them encircled or connected with Hampton Roads, that the report identified Dulles International Airport and Hampton Roads as key engines of economic driving for Virginia in today's global market. But there was no connection from these planning corridors to Dulles Airport. And would we find what was missing? We gave him a report, and he did indeed, or in the final VTrans, there was a line on the map indicating a need. It wasn't identified as a new corridor at that time, but there was a line indicating a need to connect the existing corridors to Dulles Airport. So I would ask you to give it very serious consideration. In understanding why this corridor is important, I'd ask you to look back or think back 30 years. The world was a very different place. Northern Virginia, as you know it today, virtually did not exist. Dulles Airport had 41 flights a day. It connected the Commonwealth to just two international markets, and one of them was seasonal. We had links to about 4% of the world's economy. Today, we're connected to 80% of the world's economy, because Dulles Airport was jump-started by the Commonwealth's Department of Aviation in partnership with Northern Virginia political and business leaders. We now have a situation where the Commonwealth, wherever you're trying to develop new jobs, can point with pride to the fact that you can move people and goods pretty much anywhere in the world in 24 hours now. You couldn't do that 30 years ago. We have an abundance of capacity for growth at Dulles, just as Hampton Roads has an abundance of capacity for growth. We can, how we use that growth will determine the future prosperity of our Commonwealth. And a key piece is going to be how you get to the port. Dulles won't do anybody any good if you can't get to it. A couple of further points. About 40% by value of the world's goods today go by air. We can expect that to grow. We can expect in the future very high-tech manufacturing for new very high-tech products like some of the new pharmaceuticals that are coming along. where medicine will be applied against our knowledge of our genome, individual dosages. Dr. Davis can tell you a lot about that. But these new manufacturing processes are all going to rely on air transportation for both the product coming in and the product, the final product, going out. Regions which have good airport access, good reach to the world, will be prime locations for those new, very high-tech manufacturing processes. So for these regions, I would suggest to you, a lot of it's common sense, I would urge you to designate a link between our corridors of statewide significance and Dulles Airport. And I'd urge you to call that link the Global Gateway Corridor. Let me leave it there. I think I've taken probably too much time already, but thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you very much. Anyone else like to make a... Mr. Clapper?
Mr. Secretary, members of the board, I'm actually reminded a little while ago of a comment I had a non-commissioned officer in the early...
Excuse me, who are you?
I'm sorry, Rob Clapper with the Prince William Chamber of Commerce.
Thank you.
I am reminded of an acronym that you may want to bring in, and it's called CAVE, Citizens Against Virtually Everything. Thank you for allowing me to address you today on this issue. It's number one for my organization and my community. Again, I'm Rob Clapper, and I serve as the president of the largest Chamber of Commerce in Northern Virginia, the Prince William Chamber. A quick snapshot for our organization. We represent more than 1,900 businesses, stretch across four towns, two cities, and all of Prince William County. Recent census data shows Prince William and Loudoun counties are outpacing any other counties in the Commonwealth by population growth. That's why we also stand today in partnership with the Loudoun Chamber of Commerce to request your support. With almost 2,000 businesses we speak on behalf, we're honored to represent their 72,000 employees. Our business leaders and owners have been crystal clear about what is needed for their business to grow, add jobs, and grow the economy. It's visionary leadership to strategically support economic development, and that's why I'm asking you for your support today with the Bi-County and Tri-County Parkway and have it be included as a name element within or as a corridor of statewide significance. Additionally, a survey conducted by the Northern Virginia Transportation Alliance in 2009 found 63% of Prince William County residents and 66% of Loudoun County residents supported the Tri-County Parkway. Both facilities will appear on the Prince William County Comprehensive Plan, and as we move forward with your leadership today, we'll continue to attempt to provide badly needed connectivity between current and future activity centers. Additionally, I want to submit to you as well, and I will leave them behind, letters of support from the Board of County Supervisors from Prince William County, as well as from the City Council in the City of Manassas, who have each sent letters urging your support for the designation of the Bi-County and Tri-County Parkways as corridors of statewide significance. The first half of our nation's history saw the economic development was directly tied to infrastructure development. Creation of roads for vehicles, railroad led to trade and prosperity across this vast continent. This in turn vaulted the nation into a position of significance in the world. The second half of our society has been slightly different, focused on moving from an agrarian society into an industrial revolution and largely into an urban society. All of this was facilitated by the foresight of private and public sector leaders who further developed the country's infrastructure, including the transportation system. Now we have outgrown this system around the country, and specifically in Northern Virginia, and it's time for renewed leadership to step up with a vision that will ensure our regions and our communities find greater prosperity and unparalleled quality of life for generations to come. Equally critical are key connections to move goods and products faster. So I'll close with a quote from Ronald Reagan. Each generation goes further than the generation preceding it because it stands on the shoulders of that generation. You will have opportunities beyond anything we've ever known. Identifying these parkways as corridors of statewide significance is the first level of the future foundation for growth and prosperity for our community. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Clapper.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, my name is Brian Gordon, and I'm the Virginia Vice President for the Apartment and Office Building Association of Metropolitan Washington. We are a membership organization representing owners and managers of commercial property throughout the Washington metropolitan region, and our collective portfolio totals approximately 160 million square feet of commercial office space and about 200,000 apartment units throughout the region. I'm also speaking today on behalf of the Loudoun County Chamber of Commerce, and we would request your action to designate a corridor of statewide significance, citing the Bi-County and Tri-County Parkways, to provide a north-south link in that area of the state. It is no secret that our corner of the state is plagued by sometimes crippling traffic congestion, and these projects would go a very long way towards alleviating that problem. But in addition, as some of the previous speakers have cited, this would be very beneficial to the economies of Loudoun, Fairfax, and Prince William County, and indeed of the entire Commonwealth of Virginia. As Mr. Shepherd cited, the long-term growth, and it's very important that we not constrain that growth of the Dulles International Airport. And I listened with interest as we received the presentation on what the corridors are defined as and what is the criteria for those corridors. Certainly, this area would qualify in terms of providing a vital link to the economic prosperity of the state. It would be multimodal, connect activity centers, and certainly accommodate a high volume of traffic as well. So we certainly appreciate your consideration for this action. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chase? Anyone else?
Never wishing to disappoint, Mr. Chairman. I'm Bob Chase with the Northern Virginia Transportation Line. Mr. Chairman, I've distributed a copy of a letter signed by 17 major Northern Virginia business organizations in support of designating the Bi- and Tri-County Parkways as corridors of statewide significance. Some of these organizations have spoken today. Others have sent letters, as have organizations such as the Metropolitan Washington Airports Authority, as well as public officials. I mean, all of these entities combined represent not only thousands of employers, but more importantly, tens of thousands of employees and families. During 2009, the discussion of the 2035 statewide plan, the CTV had a number of productive discussions, as was mentioned earlier, about the importance of prioritization and identification and advancement of game-changing projects. In 2009, the Virginia General Assembly unanimously adopted the corridor of statewide significance of legislation. Analysis of the 2004 and 2009 statewide plans demonstrated that in Northern Virginia it's not possible to add enough lanes to existing corridors to meet projected demand. In fact, state and local planners knew this decades ago and recommended a number of north-south corridors and Potomac River bridges to create a better balanced network. The failure to build these corridors is a major reason Northern Virginia has earned the designation of having the nation's most congested region. Preserving transportation options in areas such as Northern Virginia is always a smart thing to do. Time and again, local governments have removed or downsized planned transportation facilities in the name of controlling growth, only to then see previously preserved rights of way built over by houses and commercial properties. I know that you've been subjected to a lot of information, including a wealth of misinformation and baseless claims in terms of such as the fact that there's no north-south demand in Northern Virginia. I can recall a number of meetings when in another life, Mr. Secretary, you arrived a little bit late because you were sitting on some of those north-south roads and couldn't get to those meetings. Suggestions of the that's what you said. I mean, I'm just saying what you told me. I'm not sure where you were. But,
That was a different life.
That was a different life. I said that was a different life. This is now. I understand. You know, the suggestion that we only have east-west traffic, or we're talking about building massive roads here. Ms. Hanley mentioned the fact that we ought to be doing the Tri-County Parkway rather than a Western Corridor. Well, a Western Corridor isn't being discussed here, but the actual comp plan Tri-County Parkway is one of the things that is being discussed here. So she said that's been on the map for a long time, and of course that's what we're asking you to designate as a corridor of statewide significance. I think it's also important to point out that much of the opposition to this is coming from the same organizations that opposed the 2002 transportation referendum, the Woodrow-Wilson Bridge, Capitol Beltway improvements, I-66 improvements, and most recently the governor's bond program. So had those positions prevailed, you folks wouldn't have any money to spend the next few years. I mean, the $3 billion that we're fortunate to have, which, you know, would not be there had some of these folks prevailed in the General Assembly. Creative as the arguments against these projects are, they don't stand up to or change the facts that the need and demand for new facilities such as the Bi-County and Tri-County Parkway in this corridor of statewide significant area have been well documented by the state, by the Commonwealth and regional studies for decades. And these facilities have been endorsed by and remain on local comprehensive plan. The actions you are being asked to take today in re-acknowledging the importance of protecting and advancing north-south multimodal corridors connecting Prince William and Loudoun County and points to the north and south is one that should have been taken decades ago. While the CTB cannot change what's happened in the past or retrieve the time that has been lost, it can make certain that we move in the right direction from this point on by designating the Bi-County and Tri-County Parkway as critical corridors of significance within a larger north-south corridor of significance in Northern Virginia. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Short. Mr. Chase, Mr. Schwartz. Anyone else after Mr. Schwartz?
I may be tailing Charlie here. Good evening or good afternoon. My name is Stuart Schwartz. I'm the Executive Director of the Coalition for Smarter Growth. We're almost a 14-year-old organization that's worked on land use and transportation issues in the Washington, D.C. region. We have a number of core conservation partners as well as partnerships with the business community, including through the Washington Sustainable Growth Alliance, where we've endorsed millions of square feet of development and thousands of housing units in smart growth locations. So we are pro-growth, growth in the right places, and in a fiscally responsible manner. I want to first go back to what Trip Pollard said at the beginning and some of the clearest testimony possible. There's a real concern that we have about the process here and the lack of meeting notice, both in the discussion that occurred at last month's meeting under new business, and if indeed there is a resolution move forward today that has not been noticed on any agenda. I am a Navy veteran, much like our secretary and many probably military veterans in this room, and I think nothing is more important than public process transparency through this process. And Tripp made a great point about the fact that if you are going to look at these corridors of statewide significance, look at your criteria for them, look at which ones you might add, that you do that through that process and not through this standalone resolution. We have testimony we shared with you that's signed by three of our groups. You probably will have also received emails and, of course, emails on both sides of this issue. Let me turn to the specifics of this. And I'm going to talk about the specifics of this corridor because clearly, based upon the discussion by Mr. Garzinski at last month's meeting when I listened to the meeting audio and from the testimony you heard tonight, this is about one particular highway corridor. It's not about a broad corridor statewide significance analysis. And doing such analysis would probably cost hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not $1 million, to get the right objective analysis of this whole area. So we believe this is really more about one particular corridor. And, you know, I remember on I-66, they did a major investment study in 1998-99, and it sat on a shelf for a decade. Finally, we're starting to move forward on I-66, and there is no question that that is the far most critical need Northern Virginia has in this area, I-95 and the other area. You have these corridors designated. I-66 and I-95 are part of them. We should be focusing on those. We should be focusing on maintenance. The state has $3.7 billion in structurally deficient bridges and over $1 billion in deficient pavement. The traffic here is documented as east-west in this area. If you look at the Tri-County Parkway EIS and the Battlefield Bypass EIS and the Loudoun County Transportation Study, you talk to any resident up there who deals with I-66, 29, 50, and Route 7, Waxpool and Loudoun, they're beside themselves about this east-west traffic problem. Adding development corridor to the west could only potentially add more traffic trying to commute to the vast majority of jobs that are east of Dulles Airport. INRIX last week, a national traffic confirm said that the biggest bottlenecks in our region are I-66, I-95, and the Beltway. We need to be targeting those areas. In terms of the past studies that have been done on corridors of statewide significance, the Northern Virginia Connector study showed that freight shipments by air from Dulles Airport or in the corridor are 0.1% by weight and 0.2% by value of the total freight moving through Northern Virginia. That means it's a minuscule portion of the freight that we're talking about that needs to move to support the population of Northern Virginia. This Northern Virginia Connector Corridor included Dulles Airport in its analysis and its discussions, and you see some discussion of it, but it's very small in a paragraph or two without much substantiation of any need to connect to Dulles. The study also, the Corridor Statewide Significance Study, also acknowledges that Route 28 expansion, for which we've spent tens of millions of dollars, has made a real difference. Proponents talk about access to the airport. I've just discussed why freight is not an issue. Well, passengers enter from the east side of the airport and can use this newly expanded Route 28. It's probably 10 miles longer to go the west side of the airport. About 4 to 5 miles longer. The reason I mentioned 10 miles is because you're talking two separate 10-mile corridors here, one the Tri-County or Bi-County Parkway, and there are many names for it, and another a connection to the Dulles Loop. What could this potentially cost? Your Corridors of Statewide Significance Study lists a price tag for the Tri-County of $475 million. I looked at the Dulles Loop study. For a four-lane divided roadway, it's priced at about $52 million, but if you add all the interchanges that you would need and expand it to the full eight lanes that they want to build it to, you could easily call that a $300 million project. So you're talking about taking on obligation for yet another very significant project, $775 million. It would come out of all the other needs in the state, including maintenance. Second to last, I would say there's a historic factor here. You know, you hear my somewhat Yankee accent, but I came from both a southerner and a northerner. And there's some hallowed ground that you're talking about right here. They are talking about a very specific corridor. Well, that corridor would run past Stewart's Hill at the battlefield at Manassas, which we paid $134 million to protect from Mr. Hazel from building a mall at that site. So we would now run a 4 to 6 lane highway right past that. It would then run right adjacent to Brawner Farm, scene of the most significant fighting in the Second Battle of Manassas. The unfinished railroad passes through here, along with Stonewall Jackson moved and other generals moved their troops. And this year is the 150th anniversary, not only of the whole Civil War, but of the First Battle of Manassas. Next year will be the 150th of the Second Battle of Manassas. It's a prime source of tourism in this state, the Civil War history. This is very hallowed ground that cemented with blood, strengthened and improved our Constitution towards a more perfect union. I cannot believe that this historic state would allow this to be a high priority project running past this corridor. On a personal note, on the southern half of my family, I had an ancestor that fought at both of those battles. There will be huge reenactments this summer of the First Battle of Manassas directly adjacent to this corridor. But let me finish with saying that we recommend, as Tripp did, that we go through the process you've talked about starting in a decision in May about how you're going to identify corridors of statewide significance and the procedures for that, particularly because of the lack of meeting notice here. And I think I will finish up with something Tripp also talked about, which was we somehow lost the land use connection that was talked about so well in the VTrans 2025 process. And I say this because we're broke. You know, we know the nation's broke. We know we have this money that's here for now, but once this borrowed money is used up, we're done, unless you want to tell folks to raise the gas tax. Even were you to do that, you don't have enough money for your maintenance. You don't have enough money for all the other projects that the Commonwealth needs. We have to choose projects more wisely, and we have to fundamentally do land use first, changing our patterns of development to more compact, walkable, and transit-oriented patterns of development. And those are the goals of the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority. They're the goals of the Metro and Washington Council of Government. And I strongly urge that you consult with them first before you move this particular corridor forward as well. Thank you for all the time. I appreciate it, Mr. Secretary. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, minutes of February 16th. Any changes, revisions?
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you very much. Maintenance Division, Ms. Sorrell.
Good morning, Mr. Secretary. I have a few items, but they're all hopefully short and sweet. The first one is the naming of a bridge on alternate Route 58.
Bowie, do we have a motion?
Move approval. Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
The second is
Mr.
the...
Mr. Bowie, do you have a motion?
I'll make it.
Oh, Ms. Keene?
I'm going to be first. Boy's asleep. He's going to make it.
Do you have a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Mr. Martin?
I move approval.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Ms. Coolney?
Mr. Chairman, I move to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Mr. Ralph, great presentation.
Thank you so much. We aim to please. Number five is also very short. We're asking the board to approve the adoption of the National Fire Protection Standards for bridges and tunnels. We've been working with the state fire marshal over the last couple of years to make sure that we have the right standards that we are using in our tunnels. And they've recently been updated, and so we would just ask the board to adopt these standards. The chief engineer and I are working together with the state fire marshal.
Chairman, I have a question before we move forward
yes,
on this.
Please.
As my CTB membership, I'm also on the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel.
Yes.
And we have been dealing with this issue and have not yet chose to adopt them, primarily because of the contra flow and the increased cost of traffic going contra in the tunnels. And my question is, first of all, is this grandfather all our tunnels to come in compliance with this?
Yes, but the systems that were built in the 50s and 60s and 70s in those tunnels are still good based on the standards under which they were originally developed. It's when we go to make changes and improvements that we would go through the process of deciding whether or not that would be appropriate to bring it up to grade. And there is a designated position in the department called the Authority Having Jurisdiction that would make the final decision about whether or not we should be exempt from that or not because it's just too costly and it doesn't make sense to do that particular upgrade.
Right. In other words, they're very, okay, that's yes, so we are grandfathered.
Yes, and Mr. Curley is the AHJ.
My second question, my understanding of the Midtown Tunnel Project is that this potentially could be upgrades to what our ventilation system is. And if we consider the impact on that project for these standards.
Yes. Yeah, that would definitely be a part of this. We would go through the process.
The costing. We've got that in our number. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Do we have a motion on these two items?
I'll make the motion for approval.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, thank you very much.
And last but not least, there are several regulations relating to the governance.
We just did both of them.
We did both of them?
Yeah, we did.
Great.
We're very efficient.
Good. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Ms. Estes.
Mr. Chairman, number seven is standard reallocation of revenue sharing funds in Isle of Wake County.
That is Mr. Lane. Isle of Wake is?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, I move approval, please, for the revenue sharing changes. Yes. Thank you.
The second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, number eight is an economic development access project in the Richmond District.
Mr. McCarthy?
Move approval.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Thank you.
Excellent job. Excellent job. Mr. Bennett.
I have two items of surplus property we'd like permission to sell as item. One of them is in the Fredericksburg District. That's item 9A. It's near the district office. Any questions concerning?
Motion.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Item 9B is a parcel in Tazewell County, just west of the town of Tazewell.
Move approval.
All those in favor say aye. All those opposed? Thank you very much.
Item number 10 is a request for a limited access change that would be in connection with a permit. It's in the town of Blacksburg. It's permission to construct an extension of the Hokie Bikeway adjacent to Route 460 bypass. They would go through a piece of future interchange right-of-way that we acquired some time ago and has not been needed for that purpose.
I move approval.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Thank you.
Okay. Location and design.
Good afternoon. I'm here to present to you Route 642 in Halifax County for location approval. I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Is this your first time you've been before us?
Not really.
When was the last time you were before us?
I attended the workshop.
When?
For contact sensitive solution about commission was about 6-7 months ago, maybe.
6 or 7 months ago? But that really isn't. Did you go through the initiation, right?
He's been through the initiation.
All right, just making sure. I was going to get the paddles out.
Move for approval.
Do you have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Say aye. Thank you very much. Ms. Busher.
I'm Diane Mitchell. I'll be presenting the additions to the six-year program. We have 8. Most are safety-related, and I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Move approval.
I have a question.
Oh, we have
a question.
We have who's Ms. Ellis?
Mr. Rich.
No, Mr. Rich.
Yeah. Where does the money come from for adding these? I forget.
The next item are transfers, and the majority of those transfers are being taken from safety projects that can't be obligated this year to these projects that can be, that will help with federal strategy.
Okay, so it's transfers from other, it's not additional funding.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question that also go to the next one. Are these, the money's moved to the signage in on I-64, is that for electronic signs?
I'm
year
not
and in the next next
positive time. About that, Kim, do you know? I'll have to check on that.
Okay, I hope it is, but.
Any other questions? All right, do you want to do 12? Well, let's just do 12 first. I have a motion?
No. Are we doing 13 as well, Mr. Chairman?
Whatever you guys want. Whatever you like to do.
I have a question when we get to 13.
All right, why don't we go ahead and do 12? What's that?
Oh, you did.
All right, who's second? Second? Excellent, Mr. Bowie. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, Mr. King.
Is that 12?
That was 12.
Okay, now we're going to 13. And my question is specifically related to the source of, I think Mr. Rich probably started to ask a similar question, source of the revenue that's being, or the funds that are being just transferred. And as we go down to page 6, system recipient, I guess it's the source. Can I look on that page and determine the source of where those funds came from?
Yes.
Is that the column says system recipient project?
Yeah, there's a system recipient donor too there.
Yeah, there's the donor and then the recipient.
Donor's on the left. Okay.
And then the fund type is kind of towards your right, third, fourth column from the right.
I guess my question is this. For example, on page 5, the Northern Virginia Project has secondary funds being transferred away from it.
This is how much we estimate this.
What is the identity of those secondary funds? Page 5, the bottom one, 1, 2, 3, fourth one down. Well, all of those have secondary funds that are the system donor.
Well, the project is on the system, secondary system, but I think these are safety funds. Am I not seeing the right project?
These are all safety projects?
Most of, yeah, if you look at the fund type, that says, and I think you're thinking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm trying to find the secondary project. And you're on page 5, I'm
so
sorry.
So there are safety funds for secondary roads.
Yeah, the safety funds can be used on any system.
Right. But they were designated as originally as funds to be spent on secondary roads?
No, they're discretionary. It's just they end up with that secondary designation because they were initially allocated to a secondary project. But they can be moved from secondary to primary, urban.
Yeah, that's the question I had, Mr. Chairman, too. I mean, I see a lot of stuff is flowing out of the Culpeper District to other districts. Is that money going to be replaced? Or?
Yeah, the intent is because those FY11 and previous funds cannot be obligated this year. They were moving them to these projects that can move forward this year, and they're going to backfill those projects with FY12 funds.
Do you promise?
That's what traffic engineering has said, yes.
And the question. Now, do we have any of these going from, we have some going from primary to secondary and secondary to primary, right? Is
mm-hmm.
that
it
legal?
Can, it can go.
Keep in mind, the safety funding can be used on any project that is qualified for safety funding based on federal regulation. It's not meant for any particular road system. It's federal funds. And if a project isn't moving that has been originally allocated safety funds, what we are doing now is pulling that money off those projects and putting it on a project that will move, so that we can spend that money. Some of these safety projects are old and have been sitting on the books and not being spent. So we're moving that money to where it can be spent, whatever system it is, as long as that project qualifies for the federal safety program.
So you could take interstate and put it on a secondary.
It's safety money. It's not interstate
right.
money. It's not primary money. It's not secondary. It's safety money.
So that's what you have listed here. That's what confused me.
It's a project that's on the primary system. All we're doing is identifying the system in which the project rests.
All right.
And it's safety money to the project. It's not primary money.
Ms. Kane?
Projects that are on the list that have been there for a while, is that a maintenance list, or is that in a six-year plan?
In the six-year plan.
Okay.
Mr. Lane.
It's fair to say then that the TPO could have made this decision before we decided to do it?
This isn't actually an MPO,
an MPO
project. This could be either a VDOT administered or a locally administered.
So
but we have similar positions for, as we've discussed with the board, related to delayed enhancement spending, RSTP, and CMAC funds. Any of those federal funds that are sitting, we can't let that happen for anyone to make those strategies.
Okay. We have a motion.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed. Thank you very much. Mr. Lawson. Does anybody have any further questions, Mr. Lawson, about this? We have a motion.
I move to approve, Mr. Chairman.
Do you have a second?
I move to buy. I mean second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Mr. Lawson, great job.
Thank you. Just trying to
Mr. McCarthy, do you want to move 15?
I'd like to move item 15.
Do you have a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Thank you very much. Mr. Siles?
Good afternoon. I bring before you today eight projects valued at a little over $107 million. You will notice that I've given some pink sheets indicating there's been some changes. The only changes made are actually in the description. The first description that came out was for the entire, all phases of this Gainesville project. This is the last phase of the Gainesville project, and that's all the change was about. All the rest of the data was the same.
So I want to make sure I'm reading this correctly. We estimated that this phase would cost $113 million, and it came in at $74.3 million.
That was the estimate back at in the planning stages.
I know, but right now we park in the six-year plan.
Our construction estimate was a lot less than that. As you know, that doesn't get disclosed, but it was
that is in the six-year program, $114 million.
That's correct.
And the bid came in at 74.3.
Mm-hmm. And as you notice, we had 11 bidders. 11 bidders on a project of this size is virtually unprecedented.
Let's sell those bonds, Mr. Lawson. What are you doing sitting around here?
Is this part of that new Carter that we were talking about?
Very close to it's 29. Any questions? Do we have a motion?
Move to accept the business.
We have a second. I'm sorry.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Now, do we have to say this one separately?
Yeah, I would like to do this as new business, sir, if it's your pleasure. This is a resolution for a project that's known as VDOT Order Number 9B4. It's Route 50 at Arlington Courthouse. The board awarded this last month at the February session. Since that time, the second bidder has lodged a protest. VDOT Council has reviewed the protest, and we have responded back to the protester that we could find no merit in his argument. VDOT would like to move forward with the execution of this contract. Since the board awarded it, you all will have to help us move forward with this. The law provides that no action be taken on a protested job until the protest is resolved. But it also provides that if it's found in the public interest that it is a wise move to move forward, that you can move forward. This resolution is in hope that you'll find in the public interest that we should move forward with the award.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
A question. What is the basis of this allegation?
The first bidder, when he submitted his, this is a federal project, so it has DBE participation.
A what?
DBE, disadvantaged business participation.
Okay.
The contractor has information that he has to turn in that shows that he has met the goal that was placed on the project. When his information was reviewed, VDOT found that two of the firms were not eligible under the rules. And so the contractor asked for a panel hearing, reconsideration hearing. The panel convened and found that the contractor had exercised good faith. Part of that process, though, he has to submit documentation to us for our review prior to the panel hearing. The second bidder has alleged that he did not submit that information timely. We reviewed it, council's reviewed it, and we find that we can find no merit in that argument. So we'd like to move forward.
Is this same thing as holding up an important project in the Culpeper District? I don't know if there's a way we can try to change the law on this or not, but it seems to be holding things up. So.
Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, Mr. Garzinski.
Question, delaying this process, we are run the risk of this costing more money to the Commonwealth.
That is correct.
Yeah, for that reason, I support a motion as recommended.
Second. And I just want to make one last comment. This one thing that has a little bit of a twist to this is that it's our money, right?
This is our money.
So we have a timeline. So we can't screw around with this for years. I mean, this has to move or we lose that money. So all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Thank
okay,
you.
Well, I guess the meeting's adjourned. Oh, well, I guess we have one item, don't we, Mr. Well, actually, any new business?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm trying to figure out when the Route 29 thing is going to come up. That is designated a major corridor. We spent $1 million, and I'm waiting on that. What's the story?
What is the status of the 20? I thought it was, when is that coming back?
This month.
No one?
Mr. Chairman, the 29th subcommittee has completed its work.
Okay.
Staff was putting the final report together. I think it probably is ready for presentation to the CTB, but it makes sense, I think, for it to be a part of the discussion next month in terms of setting forth the path we're going to follow as we look at another corridor to study and what processes that we've actually recommended.
Now, does that mean we're going to consider it next month?
Let me just say, I think I'm going to be out next month. It's my kid's spring break, and I'm going to miss that meeting. I would like to be present when we discuss that study. I would make that request.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we can do it. We're behind schedule, and it's been several months, and we need to move forward on, I think.
That's something we're going to fund right away, then.
It's really not any funding, or it's really more of a process.
Mr. Chairman, I might ask what your understanding of exactly what would be the best timing might be.
I'm sorry, I lost complete visibility on this. I've been kind of busy the last couple of months.
I understand.
But, all right, May? Can we do it in May? Are you not going to be here in April?
I'm not going to be here in April. I'll be here in May. I would
all right.
prefer
can we,
if we could do
can
it
we
May.
Have this on the agenda in May?
Yeah.
May?
Okay.
We
but
want
it
on the agenda.
Flip
no matter what it is, we're bringing it up in May.
That's the Route 29 Subcommittee study proposal, correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Everybody okay?
It sounds good.
All right.
Thank you.
Any other new business?
Mr. Chairman?
No other new business. Mr. Coolman.
Mr. Chairman, I've had circulated to my colleagues a resolution that would add a Northern Virginia North-South Corridor of statewide significance to the list of corridors that we previously designated. As you've heard today, the designation of corridors was a transition from another form of attempting to further multimodal planning. And in 2009, the CTB adopted the corridors as part of its V-Trans 2035 plan. But we also anticipated that we would be adding and altering corridors as circumstances dictated to us. And it's with that in mind that I come forward with this resolution today. The fast-emerging job and population centers in Loudoun County, Prince William County, Stafford County, Fairfax County, and others have now been confirmed by the U.S. Census data. As you heard referred to today, these are some of the fastest-growing counties or localities in the United States, not just in Virginia. And this is the time, I think, to correct what was an oversight at the time of V-Trans 2035 to add this corridor in Northern Virginia. Let me briefly outline why. In the broadest sense, north-south connections are needed to connect the corridors that you saw in that map. US 1, I-95, I-66, US 50, Route 7, and Dulles Airport lie within this corridor. And as you heard earlier, one of the priorities is to actually not only encourage transportation through the corridors, but to connect them more directly. Secondly, this is a broadly defined, a very broad area between US 15 and Route 28. It doesn't necessarily prejudge any particular project or mode, any priority, but it does begin to suggest that the Commonwealth and the counties that are involved, as well as the cities and towns, need to better coordinate their planning and their investments. I will say this, if you were to list the things in the corridor very quickly, it would confirm what you intuitively know. Dulles Airport, of course, is smack in the middle. So is Loudoun County Airport, Manassas Regional Airport. There's freight rail in and out of Manassas. There's Metro Rail extension coming into Loudoun County now. The towns and cities, Dumfries, Occoquan, Manassas, Manassas Park, Haymarket, Leesburg, these are not on the outer fringes of Northern Virginia any longer. They're actually right in the middle of this burgeoning population center, and they're growing more quickly than the other more mature parts. VRE comes into the corridor. Virginia Transit operates in Loudoun County now. So, more importantly, other parts of the Commonwealth's resources are being invested heavily now. George Mason University has a new Prince William campus and Performing Arts Center. There are two campuses of the Northern Virginia Community College now in the corridor. The George Washington University has its prime auxiliary campus in Loudoun County, and so forth. These are some of the existing improvements that have occurred as a result. We have widened 66. We are 95. We have widened 50. We are widening 7. We're adding interchanges to 7. All these are east-west corridors that are being improved. What I'm talking about is a north-south corridor. And if you want to follow, you can go to the map that's in your folder up front. If you just simply look at where the crease is, that's kind of what we're talking about in terms of a corridor here. The resolution really recognizes the growth in jobs and population and activity in this corridor that has occurred and will occur. Our Council of Governments in Washington sees a significant amount of growth in the future occurring in this corridor. The V-Trans 2035 process actually identified the population growth in the corridor and in Northern Virginia per se. And you can see by the expansion of the public institutions, by the growth of businesses such as Orbital Sciences, Micron, Lockheed Martin, AOL, Raytheon, CSC, BAE Systems in this corridor, that it's seen as a prime source of future jobs and future workforce supply by those companies. Finally, we do have north-south links that have been constructed. Loudoun County Parkway, Prince William County Parkway, 234 extended, and so forth. But they haven't been put together in a coordinated way. And that's one of the and they haven't necessarily included transit or other potential transportation options as we've gone forward. I think the discussions today probably more than anything else validated the need for a more comprehensive, collaborative approach between and among the jurisdictions there and the Commonwealth about the investments we're going to make. Remember, this corridor runs river to river, Potomac to Potomac. It's critical, north and south, as these areas grow. And it is one of the only ways we actually exit our region into Maryland at the moment, through Route 15. So a lot is at stake here. Let me explain the resolution quickly. You can see it's a simple resolution. It simply designates a corridor. It doesn't prioritize a project. It doesn't choose a mode. In fact, it does the opposite. It says this should be part of a master planning process. Having said that, I'd like to, at the proper time, offer an amendment that was suggested to me by Ms. Drake that would bring the language of one of the whereas clauses into perfect conformity with one of the whereas clauses we used when we adopted the original Charters of Statewide Significance. I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Doug? As I read the resolution, one of my concerns is that I think we should acknowledge somewhere, just as examples, the Bi-County and the Tri-County Parkway that are on the comp plans of the counties involved, just because they are extensions of existing roads. That doesn't mean that, you know, I may have a personal preference, as Mr. Schwartz said. That doesn't mean that during the process, everything is going to be examined as to what's the best solution. But I'd like to acknowledge that those governments involved, as well as the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority that I sit at the behest of the governor on, also supports the corridor concept.
Mr. Chairman, perhaps I should move the resolution, have it seconded, and then additional discussion could occur on the resolution. So I'd like to move the
resolution.
All right, Mr. Bowie.
I'd move to amend the motion. I am not opposed to the resolution, but for the sake of transparency, I think it would be far better if it were placed on the April agenda and action deferred until that meeting.
Second. Is there any discussion on the amendment?
May I ask a question, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
My question, Mr. Chairman, would be, is there a substantive question in the resolution that we might be able to resolve through an amendment process now, or is there a need for additional data? Or
my concern is not as much a need for additional data, but for the sake of transparency, making it known to the public that this action is going to be taken in advance. A couple of valid objections were noted by the public speakers.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Rector.
I agree with Mr. Bowie on that. I think this is an important matter, and we ought to have more notice to the public so both sides or however many people want to get involved can get involved. Now, I have the highest regard for the two gentlemen that are putting this forward, and I want to make it known right at the outset that I love Dulles Airport. That's the airport I take. My problem in getting to Dulles Airport is Route 50, trying to go east, which is bumper to bumper. Now, this proposal is nothing new, really. It reminds me of Yogi Berra, the deja vu all over again, or
the book of the Ecclesiastes, it says there's nothing new under the sun. When I was on the board 20 years ago, this came up. I looked in my files, and here it is, Western Transportation Corridor since 1997. So this is not a new concept. What this is, so you all know what this is really all about, is to build another beltway around Washington, D.C. Now, this is what this is about. It's not trains. It's another beltway type thing. This never went anywhere for 20 years, and I'll tell you why. Obviously, it was highly, highly controversial. People realized it did not solve the congestion problem at all. Our studies back then, and I think the studies show now, that, again, the problems in this area where I live, and I commuted in from Fauquier County to Washington, D.C. for 25 years, so I know all about commuting, is east-west, west-east. We were in gridlock on Route 66. You can't even get in there on the weekends. We were gridlock on Route 50. Route 7 is totally gridlocked, where this corridor might dump all the traffic into. The studies back 20 years ago, and I think the studies today, indicate that this, if you put a new north-south corridor west, this exacerbates the problems for east and west. It actually adds cars to 66, 50, and 7. That was the study. So we would be hurting the commuters. The average Joe getting to and from work with this. Let's look at the cost.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not
going
to get a
different
motion.
Yeah.
Point of order.
I'm sorry, then, Mr. Marzinski.
Yes, and I do have all the respect in the world for my colleague to the left.
Let me finish, Mr. Chairman. Okay, sure. I'm not quite done. This won't take too much longer. Let's look at the cost of this. We're talking maybe over $1 billion if this thing gets started. Now, you all have to go back to this is a giant sucking sound. If you vote for this type of thing, get it going, you're going to have to go back to your district and explain why there's no money.
Mr. Chairman, with all due respect, this is not the subject that we're actually have on the table.
We had a whole explanation of it beforehand.
Well, no, actually, the motion that gentlemen, you actually want a motion.
I want to speak, and I seconded his, and I would like to speak to the amendment.
An amendment and a motion to defer.
Yes,
it's a motion.
It would be an amendment to Mr. Tumay's motion. I think he moved the adoption of the resolution.
Right, but I think what you're
moved to amend that motion, not the resolution.
Right, but you have a motion to defer.
Yes,
his, and that's what you're really.
And Mr. McCarthy seconded.
Okay, I did.
Yes, yeah, so Mr.
And
McCarthy.
I would speak to that just
I'm
briefly.
I'm still not done yet. If you don't mind, Mr. Chair, excuse me, Ms. McCarthy. This will just take a second. We know there's no formulas now. And the Secretary said the other day about 52-54% of the money is going to Northern Virginia. Now, you know, I commute in that area, so, you know, that's fine. You all need to think about that. We're already spending, maybe up to $5 billion to bring rail to Dulles. And we have no conception of how we're going to pay for operation and maintenance. That's not even in there. That's going to have to come somewhere. We put millions in Route 28. This is not on the governor's list.
And actually, I'm sorry.
The godfather of transportation in Northern Virginia, the fellow who sits on the appropriations, transportation appropriations committee, Mr. Wolf, is against this. So I think we need to think about these types of things.
I know, but we have a motion to defer, not that's the actual motion. So I'm sorry, Mr. McCarthy, you want to speak to that?
Well, I mean, in one sense, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I wonder what Ms. Fiola is doing speaking to us, because she spent considerable time, we had considerable discussion about a legitimate process going forward to designate future corridors of statewide significance beginning this spring, as I understood her. And so I have to say this seems a little bit more like a ready, fire, aim situation that we're being presented with, and I would prefer, but I will accept a deferment until April, but I would prefer that we do the studies first according to our process before we make any decisions, which seems like the rational approach.
Okay, any other discussion on the motion to defer?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I can appreciate the interest of my colleagues in transparency and so forth. I would simply offer up that the reason people were here today is because they did know about it. And that if you have more transparency, you're likely to get the same people here again. This is not a broad public issue. This is something that has to do with planning and land use and so forth. I would disagree with my colleague, however, on one thing, is the process that we used in 2009 obviously was flawed. We saw it at the time. It's just that the imperative to complete the V-Trans 2035 exercise had us go forward. This wasn't the only unresolved question that we simply put aside in the interest of having that document approved. But any process that actually missed the importance of Dulles Airport and had it on no corridor obviously had to be flawed. I think the colleagues who were here at the time will remember how I argued that these can't actually be seen as the priorities if you see a corridor hasn't been designated in Northern Virginia for Northern Virginia.
I make a point of order. Are we talking about the deferral, or are we talking about the substance?
So I would ask you to consider that as you decide whether or not to delay the consideration of the resolution for another month. Personally, I want all my colleagues to be fully informed about the decisions that we make. I think that those who have advocated for the corridor have made their case very well. I will personally vote against the motion because I think we are prepared and have the information to make the decision. But I'll defer to my colleagues. Use your best judgment. Are we prepared to make a decision now, or would April be a better time?
Okay, any further discussion on the motion to defer? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
Roll call.
Okay, we'll get there. We'll get there. Everyone's noted. All right, I'm sorry. I'm just going to go through. Mr. Lauterbach? Aye?
Aye.
For the motion to defer?
Right, aye.
Mr. Peek?
Although I do have a concern with going to April because I'm not going to be here in April. But anyway.
Mr. Lane?
No.
Coulombe?
No.
Mr. Keene?
I'll vote aye, and with reservations, God, I do support a corridor in that for that
okay.
Airport.
Mr. McCarthy, you're an aye.
Aye.
Mr. Boo, you're an aye. Mr. Martin?
Aye.
Okay, Ms. Dr. Davis?
Aye.
Ms. Garzinski?
No.
Mr. Rich?
Aye.
Mr. Ellis?
No.
Okay. The ayes have it. We will bring this up in April?
And if,
well, this is the motion was for the next meeting. So it was April.
Next meeting.
All right. Anything else on the new business? Meeting is adjourned. Everyone have a wonderful rest of the month. We'll see you all in April.